Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We record this, we put it on Facebook or wherever we can to get the word out.
Okay, you can put this wherever you want.
Well, my name is Melvin Agus. I'm a pastor from Hope Fellowship in South Pasadena, California. All right, let's pray, guys. Father, we just come before you, Lord. Bless this time, Lord, as we partake of your word, Lord. Give us ears to hear what your spirit would say. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I know you're going through a lot. I love men's breakfasts or men's fellowship. It's my favorite. It's where I got grounded as a Christian, not knowing anybody. And everyone was kind of older and silver-haired and all that as a young man. And it really transformed my life within 2 to 3 years tremendously. But this morning, because I've been attacked hard, especially this last year, I believe by Satan, by demonic forces, by spiritual warfare, some that I've seen and some that's come in a lot more subtle. So the ones that I've seen, I planted a church or started about 8 years ago in downtown Los Angeles. And once I went out there, it's dark, guys. Drugs, everything, darkness, a lot of spiritual oppression. And I would get choked at night. I've done a lot of, we call them deliverance, but you guys may call them exorcism or demon-possessed people. And I spent 6 months in Skid Row ministering to the people there. And so I know what you guys may be going through, and a lot of it does have to do with choices and your flesh, but a lot of it is that spiritual realm. There is people in your lives, some of you, who are praying against you. There are devil worshippers, just like we go out and we evangelize and try to save people and bring them to light. There are people who are actually praying for you not to get off drugs, for you to stay in bondage, for you to be slaves to Satan for sure. When I was in Skid Row, there was a lot of Christian people there and trying to get out. And one of the things they told me is the devil worshippers come at night and they begin to pray for people's eyes to be closed and their ears to be blocked from hearing the gospel message, from hearing that Jesus is Lord. And in Skid Row, it's very dark, very dirty. Some of you may have known about that. And the bad thing is, if you go there for help, on the one hand, the help is there, but on the other hand, all the drugs and everything you need is there as well. So it's not that productive. But you have to pray, guys. Because a lot of what you're going through is or has to do with spiritual warfare. This, about a year ago, I've been with now my ex-wife, and I'm a pastor. It's very hard for me. I don't know anybody who's been divorced around my circle. Nobody. I've known her for almost 20 years. And last year I found out, and I thought, she's awesome. She's great. She'd never betray me. Held me up on the pedestal and worshiped me. I found out that she'd been cheating on me for 3 years. While we're in the church, I'm Pastor Mel. She's Pastor Mel's wife. And I've been attacked. I've been choked at night. I've been in a Starbucks, almost killed, all kinds of things by spiritual forces. But the one that got me the most was what came into my house. I've heard voices, my kids have heard voices saying, sell your soul to Satan, all kinds of ugly, disgusting stuff. But I'm here to tell you today, we're going to talk about who is Satan according to Scripture. Because on one hand, we give him way too much respect and way too much authority and power to where we walk in fear as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, we give him no respect and no authority, and we're like, come on, I'll fight you. And you don't want to do that because he is a sneaky dog, and he hates you, and he's keen, and he got me good, guys. My world fell apart. I have 5 children. 5. And I didn't watch sports. I love sports. I didn't watch sports. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I was crazy before I came to the Lord. But we had a big family because we loved each other and all of that. And it's destroyed, guys. But, you know, so I relate to some of you maybe coming off drugs, and I'm going to court and all these things, and I'm like, what happened? I'm on your side, Lord. I've been faithful. Now, Satan cannot possess those who do you wrong. And they're accountable. They make choices. And we can't excuse that either. But I'm here to tell you, hold on to the Lord. He is real. He gives you hope. He gives you strength during darkness. And not only that, He teaches us how to fight as Christians. The worst thing you can do is make things harder for you. Make good choices. Stay away from the bad. Do the good. Put one foot forward. Eventually, the time of testing becomes a testimony. My kids were good like that, reciting scripture. My 14-year-old is suicidal. They're all messed up. One is still holding on to the Lord. But just like they were influenced for darkness, then we as men can still be that influence for light. Some of you have non-believing wives or family that you're going to go back to, but you be that light. And just like they influence for darkness, I'm thinking, what are you guys watching on TV? They're like, Annabelle? What is that? A little doll who gets demon-possessed. The Conjuring? And they're like, 8, 10. Who let you see that? Mommy? But what do they see when we're at my home? We go to church. We watch VeggieTales. We do things like that. And they begin to sing the song. So it's not too late. You guys be that influence. But I'm sharing this. And I want to show you. And I'll do this. I'll end on time. Who is Satan according to Scripture? Is he the Chucky doll? Is he the Blair Witch? How many saw The Exorcist? Probably one of the most scariest movies out there. Yeah, I saw it. My mom, man. Watch it, mijo. And she would take us to downtown L.A. on the bus. And we go to those, on Broadway, those ugly theaters with the wine was throwing bottles and stuff. My sister got cracked in the head once. And we'd be like, go to the bathroom. I'm not going to the bathroom. It was scary. We watched all that. It's ugly. And they're based on some of it on true stories about people who do get possessed. But on the one hand, we have an image of who Satan is, but we need a biblical image of who he is, because if you understand your enemy like any soldier, then you know your power, your strength, you know his weakness. He isn't God. He isn't omnipotent. He isn't even close to coming close to beating God at all. He's nothing for the Lord. The kids sing a song. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. And that's true, guys. He has some titles in Scripture. Speaking of Satan, he's called Abaddon, the accuser, our adversary, the angel of the bottomless pit. Apollyon, Beelzebub, Belel, the god of this world. He's called a murderer, the serpent of old, the prince of demons, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the ruler of darkness, Satan, serpent, wicked one. But biblically, who is he, guys? And more accurately, the angels would probably call him by his name, Lucifer. Lucifer. In Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 19, if you're taking notes or if you have your Bibles, we see that biblically, Satan was and is a cherubim angel. In Ezekiel 28, verse 11, we read, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." So here is the Ezekiel is speaking to the king of Tyre. You'll see in your Bibles. But the spiritual or the dual speaking, we believe he's speaking to no other than Satan. Because he was in the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. So on the one hand, you picture him looking like a goat with the horns and the goat's feet and the tail and the pitchfork, that's Hollywood. We want to see what Scripture says, and Scripture is describing a beautiful angel of light. Those stones, maybe light shining, but they covered him. Notice, your workmanship, or the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes, was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Notice, he is a created being. And here we believe that he was in charge of worship in heaven because it talks about his voice. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now remember, on the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat where the presence of God would appear, a model of what is in heaven, you have two cherubim angels who cover. Speculation, we're not sure. Some say that perhaps Satan or Lucifer was a third cherubim angel who covered the throne of God. One angel for God the Father, one for God the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit, but we're not sure. But it calls him the angel who covers. Here God speaking, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in your heart. By the abundance of trading, you became filled with violence within you, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. So here we see his origin or his beginning. He's not the Blair Witch. He's not the little Chucky doll 1, 2, and 3, or however many Chucky movies are out there. Now it's Annabelle. Watch out. Watch out. The movies are getting uglier and uglier. Right? Darker and darker. But he was a cherubim angel who fell from the presence of God. He was a good guy. He was on God's side before, but sin entered his heart. And we see in Isaiah 14, verse 12, that his pride led to his fall or his demise. For in Isaiah 14, verse 12, he began to say, I want to be God or above God. And that's Satan's desire, is to be worshipped. Remember when he tempted Jesus? He said, if you are the Son of God, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. He wants to be worshipped. Right? Whatever sin we're enslaved of, because sin can become bondage for those of you who are not yet set free by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For me, it was alcohol and smoky, right? And you know, what guys do, promiscuous and all of that. That was my bondage. And people would say, stop, I can stop when I want. Well, stop, I don't want to stop. Yeah, you can't stop. I couldn't stop. I wanted more and more and more and more, and I was in bondage. I was a slave to it. And you know what it is. You begin to do things you thought you would never do. You have standards, and because of your craving or whatever it is, you begin to steal, you begin to cheat, you begin to rob, you may have committed murder, whatever it takes to get that fixed. You're in bondage, you become a slave, and Satan is the first one saying, here, partake of this, and as soon as you do, he's the one right there laughing at you. Some of you know, because I've talked to the guys on Skid Row, and they see that spiritual realm, and usually they're high and all of that, and I'm thinking, why don't they see the tooth fairy? Or why don't they see a fish or a clown or something? Why is it always demons and Satan and all that? Because maybe they're seeing something that's there. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, we read, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, and here we call the five I wills of Satan, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Speaking of the angels. I will also sit on the mountain of God in the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And he wants to be worshipped or greater than God. And I love verse 15, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Yet you shall be brought down to Shiloh, to the lowest depths of the pit. I love that. And God cast him down. He was created by God. He probably led worship there in heaven. The Bible says he covered the throne or the mountain of God. And yet when he sinned against God in his heart, he was cast down, what? From heaven to earth. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, you get another glimpse of what happened in heaven. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars, speaking of the nation of Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor, in pain, and gave birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. Notice, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, and threw them where? To the earth. So Satan is this cherubim angel who gets kicked out of heaven, yet he has access. We'll get into that in a little bit. And he's such a master liar and deceiver, he creates a following of one third of all the angels in heaven, probably millions and millions of angels, one third of all the angels in heaven. And he's able to draw a third of them after him. Those angels become what? Demons. Demons. And where are they cast down to? They're with us, guys. You better believe it. And now we're in a spiritual warfare. Now, a time frame, when did this happen? We're not sure, but God creates the first man, Adam, the first woman, Eve. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan is there. Man is without sin. Man is created in the image of God. And Satan comes and he attacks the first marriage. He attacks the Word of God. And he brings doubt. And he takes that which God says is poison and will kill you. And the Bible says he makes it look desirable. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's poison. That's good. Right? Hey, baby, that's good. Right? He makes that which is poison, that which will kill us, look good. Eve is deceived. Adam willfully sins. Man goes from being in the image of God, the Bible says, to now becoming in the image of who? Satan. How? Sin nature. Satan becomes the God of this world, the Bible says. Now through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you go from being in the image of Satan back into what? What are you called? Christians. Little Christ. Back into the image of who? God. God. That's why these guys, you know, all of us, we were once lost. We were once blind. But now I see. I wasn't created to serve the devil. I was created to serve Jesus and live for him and be used by him. Let's look at some of his characteristics, guys, so you know he's not your friend. He's not your road dog. He's not your dog. He's not your, hey, what's up, fool? He's none of those things. He doesn't love you. He hates you. Some people may hear, sell your soul to me and I'll give you this or that. Just like he told Jesus. I don't discount that, especially in the music industry, for sure. Beyonce saying that she has an alter ego called Sasha Fierce. Katy Perry talking about how she sold her soul to Satan. A lot of them, they don't even question it. They do the Eye of Satan. They do all this stuff. They don't even hide it anymore. Right? And they sell out for nothing. As he told Jesus, I'll give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me. And they're going to go to hell unless they repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is a cherubim angel, so he is powerful, but he's not all powerful. He can only be in one place at one time. There's only one Chamuco. There's only one Satan. But he has a network of demons, so it seems like he's everywhere. And notice, a lot of times he doesn't come in the ugly or grotesque form. He will come in the form of that which is good, that which is pious, that which is maybe even godly. He will come in those forms. Let's look at some of his personal characteristics, his MO, these things you will know he is for sure. Number one, if you're taking notes, he is deceitful. He is deceitful in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Now, if he's deceitful, guys, he's in the church. He's in the church. How many of you know the disciple by the name of Judas? He was a good guy. He was among the 12. And yet the other 11 disciples did not know that Judas was a plant from the enemy. We even see that Judas was possessed by Satan himself, and the disciples had no idea, but Jesus knew. So the devil can come to church. You better believe it. And a lot of times he comes in the form of a pastor or a bishop or a priest or a church leader. And that's what we always tell you. You don't follow a man. You don't follow a ministry. You don't follow a church. You measure everything by what the Word of God. And I don't care what the man's name, I don't care what ministry it is, I don't care if it's Calvary Chapel. Who cares? If it's off, it's off. And love you correct, and if they don't want to be corrected, you say, have a nice day, I'm going somewhere else. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Notice, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, notice, transforming themselves into an apostle of Christ. I'm Reverend so-and-so. I don't care who you are, dude. How's your heart and your relationship with Jesus? I'm Bishop so-and-so. Well, I don't care. I'm Melvin Agus. What? Right? Who cares? And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So you have to be careful. We're blessed by good teachers and good men around us, but you measure everything by the Word of God. So number one, he's deceitful. Number two, he's a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? He's not just a liar, he invented it. The Bible calls him in John chapter 8, verse 44, the father of lies. The father of lies. Jesus tells who? Church leaders or rabbis at that time. They were in charge of the spiritual things of God. And he tells them, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Interesting. If he's a liar, Pastor Mel, and I'm asking myself that, which is kind of crazy, then how can he be in the church and use Scripture? He uses Scripture. Luke chapter 4, he uses Scripture against Jesus. He says, it is written that if you cast yourself, that God's angels won't let your foot dash upon a stone. He's quoting Scripture. He quotes Scripture out of context. And to be tricky with the truth is to tell a lie. It's a white lie. It's being tricky with the truth. No, you're lying. You need the Word of God in context. That's truth. But the Word of God out of context, you can make it say whatever you want. It's a lie, and Satan will do that. So you have to know your word. He's a liar and the father of it. So if he's telling you you're a loser, if he's telling you maybe you're addicted and you'll never get out, if he's telling you your life is over, like he told me a year ago when I found out my wife was cheating on me, and be candid, guys, I wanted to go home. I threw it on Facebook. That's probably where Dan saw it. Sorry, brother. I didn't know what else to do. I'm human. I just said, I need real prayer because I want to end my life. I want to go home. And I wouldn't do it. But it was there. And I remember just being on my face in a parking lot and just crying uncontrollably. And I just said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Because I knew there's no way I can do this. No way. And the good thing is he's there. He's there. And he picks you up and he stands you up. But Satan is a liar. He'll call you a loser. He'll call you a lot of things. He'll say you're not delivered. He'll say, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to do these things. And you just say, liar, liar, pants on fire. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Get out of here. Number three, he is the accuser, the Bible says, of who? The brethren. Now, if you're accused falsely, whatever. That's not me. But when you throw some truth in there, I messed up a lot of people as a young man. And because of that, I deserved a bad reputation. And as a Christian, and doing the right things, I remember being frustrated. Because I wanted people to know that I had changed. But they just remembered who I used to be. And just like it took time for me to ruin those relationships, it takes time for them to go, and it's not going to be in months, it might be a couple of years. He's changed. I don't know what happened, but he's changed because they're waiting for you to come home and say, we'll see, we'll see. You've been through this, you've been through that, you've talked before, but we will see. Don't let that mess you up. Don't let Satan bark there. Don't worry about convincing people's mind. Just do the right thing, and over time, they will see. In Revelation 12, verse 10, we read, Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So, biblically, Satan is in this world, walking around like a roaring lion, the Bible says, but he spends a lot of time in heaven, before the throne of God, bringing accusations against you. For homework, read Zechariah chapter 3. I don't have time to get into it, I'll summarize it. It's a vision of Joshua coming before the Lord in filthy garments, dirty. And Satan is there accusing them. He's saying he's filthy, he's dirty, he smells. And the angel of the Lord is there, who we believe is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, take off his filthiness. And he puts a robe on him. And he cleans him up. And that's how the Lord sees us, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No longer dirty. No longer what we used to be, but now who we are in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He accuses us day and night. In Job chapter 1, verse 9, Satan is a slanderer, and this is to make up things that are not true. Remember that Satan makes a wager against God. And he says, does Job serve you? He serves you because you've blessed him financially. You've blessed his health. You've blessed his family. But if you remove all of that, he will curse you to your face. He'll say bad words to you. So what is he doing? He's slandering Job. Job was a good guy. He loved the Lord. And I love this because God says, all right, you can touch everything. But don't touch his life. His life is mine. And he puts Job to the test. As we may be allowed to be touched by Satan for a season. And Job is stripped of his finances. He's stripped of his family. His family dies. He's stripped of his house. And Job doesn't curse God. He blesses God. Naked I came, and naked I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do you defeat a man like that? You can't. You can't. A man who has nothing but has the Lord has everything. And a man who has everything, Jesus says, what will he exchange for his soul? He can't. It's too late. You have more than most men on this earth. He is a slanderer. He is your enemy, just in case maybe some of you hear his voice. And I don't discount that. I tell people who do hear his voice, I don't say you're crazy, because I've heard the voice too. All right? There's probably three voices. One is Satan. One is your imagination, maybe. And one is God. If you hear Satan, don't freak out. Ignore him. Ignore him. Better yet, give him a Bible study. Don't entertain those thoughts. If it's you because you ate bad pizza, or you're coming off, or you're having the shaky shakes, or whatever, whatever. But the voice of God is always measured by the Word of God, and for sure you will hear his voice too. He's not your friend. He is your adversary. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, be sober. Yeah. Not under the influence of drugs, alcohol. If they ever legalize marijuana, don't do it. Prescription pills, don't do it, right? Just be sober. Notice, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, adversary is your enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not if he comes, it's when he comes. And notice the Bible says, resist him. You fight him, you don't give in. Steadfast in what? The faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the whole world. Everybody is going through it. Everybody has trials. Everybody has struggles. God loves you. He is on the throne. He is powerful. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm going to, for time's sake, kind of go forward. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. And he does have dominion over this world. He is a murderer for sure, and he loves to murder and kill. He is proud. In Isaiah 14 verse 12, we read that, and we have to be careful not to be prideful as men. I have a lot of pride as a man. Believe you me, the guy who, you don't mess with the man's money, you don't mess with his wife, and you don't mess with his kids. And yes, I'm Pastor Mel, and I've been saved for 15 years. But you know what? I can get ghetto really quick, man. It comes back like that. That old man. And believe you me, I thought, when this guy shows up in my van that I paid for with my kids and my ex-wife, I just want to knock his teeth out. Right? And I thought, I've had bad thoughts. And I have blown it. We've almost gone at it. I'm being a man, right? But don't be prideful. Let it go. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And you know, the tough thing is, I pray for him now. And her. And that's hard, guys. And that's only the Lord. Because as a man, come here, son. Come here, let me lay hands on you, brother. Right? And now I'm over her. That's fine. You want her to go, go. But now it's like my kids. Like, you mess with my family. You don't mess with my family, right? No. It's his family, and he's going to take care of you in his time, his way. I pray for mercy for you, brother. We got to resist pride, and I need to work there. He is wicked. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, we know that. He is cowardly. In James chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He is a tempter in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 7. So here we see he's deceitful. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a slanderer. He's our enemy. He is powerful. He's a murderer. He's proud. He's wicked. He's a coward. He's a tempter. But remember this, guys. Don't ever forget, because life will happen. Bad things will happen to you. Are you going to forget? And it's going to look like he's winning, or he's in charge, or maybe God isn't in control. Yes, he's all things, but remember, he is defeated. He is defeated. He is defeated. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He was defeated 2014 years ago on the cross. Pastor Mel, then why is he causing so much problems? Well, in a sense, he is defeated. The arrest warrant has gone out. He has not yet been arrested. But it's a matter of time. Judgment will come to him. John 14, verse 30, our Lord says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing on me." Jesus wasn't scared of Satan at all. That guy, a little shorty, he's got nothing on me. I'll mess him up. Verse 16, John chapter 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me; of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more; of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And he is judged. It's just a matter of time before he gets arrested. In the near future, guys, we have something called the 7 years of tribulation, where in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, there will be war in heaven. And finally, Satan will be cast down to this earth, and he knows his time is short. So all, literally, hell will break loose on earth for the period of 7 years. And that's when the Antichrist appears, the false prophet appears, and Satan is allowed to bring chaos and havoc on this earth along with God's judgment. And we find that in Revelation 12, verse 17. So it may look like he's winning, but then we have the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He comes, and he arrests Satan, and he puts him away for 1,000 years in prison. For whatever reason, Satan's allowed to let loose one more time. And he wants to start rebellion against God again. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, we read of Satan's destination. "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up to the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the believers and the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Now I love verse 10. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So whatever it is you're going through this morning, guys, it may be your flesh, it may be your marriage, it may be the relationship with your children, it may be a job thing or whatever, and it may seem like, man, the world's against me, the enemy's against me, I can't breathe. Know that he is defeated. You don't measure God's love by your finances, by your health, or by your circumstance. That's a lie when they say you're going to be healthy and wealthy as a Christian. Watch out. You may be, you may not be, I don't know. I'll tell you this. Jesus died on the cross. So there goes his what? Health. And he was the Son of God. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was homeless. He was broke. And yet he was the Son of God. You measure the love of God by what he did for you. He said, I love you this much. Whether you have health or you have wealth, it doesn't matter. He loves you. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever believe the lie of the enemy. In a moment, I know there's some of you here who don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in bondage to drugs or alcohol or porn or whatever it is. Really, you're in bondage to Satan. The Bible says even some of you may have made a pact with Satan and sold your soul to Satan, and you think there's no way out of that. I guarantee there is. Jesus said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no generational curses. There's no bondage. There's no curses in the Lord at all. Jesus will break all those chains and set you free, but it all begins with you surrendering to him. He died on the cross. He paid for your sin. And he did go to heaven. Now all we have to do is turn to him and ask him to forgive us. And he washes us from our sin. He gives us eternal life. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just pray this prayer with me. Heads bowed, just say this. And by the way, I was in back of a cop car before we pray. On my way to jail. DUI. Crashed into a car. And don't even do the sobriety test. I'm drunk. On the way to jail, raised Catholic, thinking I can't pray to the Virgin Mary or the disciples because look at me, what kind of son am I? Horrible. I can't pray to God. The police officer, La Habra PD, God bless him. He was a Christian. And he was listening to 107.9 FM. And Pastor Greg Laurie was talking about the gospel and how God loves you, how he died for you. And I'm handcuffed going to jail listening, and I begin to cry. I begin to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. And the officer pulled over and he led me in a simple prayer that changed my life forever. And I'm going to pray that prayer with you right now. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, brothers, pray with me, all right? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to wash me and cleanse me by your blood. And I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and keep you. We're going to partake of communion, and if I can have the worship come up, and I believe you're going to stand and just come forward, grab a communion cup. Oh, they'll pass them out. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. And believe you me, because He allowed His body to be broken, we are healed. He paid for our sin on the cross. He said, "Take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," in remembrance of what He's done for you. Don't ever forget. Life's going to get ugly, guys. It's not easy. He's going to have peaks and valleys, but always remember, He loves you, He died for you, He saved you. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread, the body. And then He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And Father, thank you for your blood that washes as white as snow, that washes all our filthy sin away, Lord. And in you, we are new creations. There's a new man, a godly man, a righteous man, a faithful man. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Let's partake of the cup. Let's go ahead and stand, guys, and worship.
Here you come, quietness.